No, I can do it. Thank you. Hi. How are you guys? Doing all right? For some reason, during worship today, I was kind of weepy. Do you ever get that when you're in? I was like that today. Thanks. You too. I get two. Yeah. And the Bible. Well, that's a good thing to have a Bible, right? Yeah, I think I was just remembering some stuff from my past, good stuff, that, you know, when we're speaking of the Lord's goodness, have you experienced God's goodness in your life? And, you know, even like somebody said, Evangeline said, even in the hard times, God is still good, right? And there's none of us that gets through this life without some hard times. Another thing I kind of remembered while we were worshiping was a thing that happened to me many, many years ago. I think I was probably a believer for about 1 year. And I didn't know any Christian language, really. So I used to have these things that I called dates with God. I knew about dating, so that was where my relate point. And I remember being at my mom's kitchen table one night, and I would go for like 2-3 hours, you know, just reading the Bible and talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden out of my mouth came, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to be with, that's it. And I don't even know where that came from. Nobody taught me that prayer or anything, but it was like a prayer of unconditional commitment, right? I was saying to the Lord, I'm yours. You know, Wimber used to say that we're change in God's pocket. And so fast forward many, many years later, I was having a really, really difficult time in my walk with the Lord. And the Lord took me back to that kitchen table in my mind. And I saw myself praying that prayer. And this is all the Lord said, and I hope you'll get this. All the Lord said to me was, I took you seriously. Huh. Like, God took me seriously. And I committed myself that day. I didn't know this language necessarily, but I committed myself that day to His way. Not my way, but His way. And God's brought me back there many, many times since then. I want to read you a passage today that is sort of like Jesus in His own language. Jesus speaking to us in the way that He wants to. And so if you have a Bible or a device or it'll come up on the... Oh, I can actually see it. I didn't even realize the last time I saw it that it was up on the board there. I thought you guys were tricky or something, but no, you're not tricky. You're just deceiving me. All right. Magical sheet tells me what I'm supposed to say and not say. I mostly ignore the latter one. All right. You guys know this passage, John 14? Let's just read it together, and then I want to spend some time on multiple things. But first of all, maybe as a starting point, a connect point, how many of you have had some trouble this week? Come on, be honest. Keep your hands up. I just want you to see, trouble's normal. Hello? I think as American Christians, we keep wanting to go to it like everything's just fine. Everything's not just fine. We live in this world, it's a crazy world, and in this world we will have trouble. That's what Jesus said. I'm not making that up. Right? Can you relate to that? All right, now listen to what he says. Oh, yeah, microphone. Yeah. Let's vote. Can you understand me if I speak without a microphone? You just were, and you didn't know you weren't speaking to me through a mic. But I will be a good boy and hold my microphone right here, okay? You know, I'm not as, never mind. Let's just read this passage. It's in red in your Bible. Oh, you don't have a Bible with you. It's not red in your Bible. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, this sounds like such a simple little statement, but it's a declaration from Jesus saying, this is what your life's going to be like on both sides. I'm going to teach you two things. I'm going to teach you that you're going to go through trouble. We already just established that. Most people in the room raised their hand when we did that, right? Is that right? Yeah, because we all have trouble almost every week. And then the second side of it is, what do you do in the midst of that trouble? Hello? What do you do in the midst of that trouble? Well, here's the whole thing, and I could take you to 30 Bible passages here. You need to learn to trust me, not me, Jesus, God the Father. If you don't learn to trust in this life, you will not have a successful Christian life. Because the troubles aren't going to let up. We live in a broken world, and we're going to have trouble in this world. He says, what I want you to learn to do, this Jesus speaking, what I want you to learn to do is I want you to learn to trust me. You know this verse, trust in the Lord, right? With all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That, you know what that says? There's going to be trouble and there's going to be stuff you can't figure out. Hello? Do you have any things in your life that you can't figure out? He says, don't trust yourself, trust me. Trust my words, lean on my promises, and we're going to see some in a minute here. And then he goes to an interesting thing. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. I want you to learn to trust, believe, have confidence in those, all in the same realm of things that the Lord promises and teaches. And then he says this, he says, my Father's house has many rooms. What is he saying? He's saying, remember heaven. Remember this life in all that there is. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Let me just stop there for a second. Think about this. God the Father, God the Son are in this place that we commonly call heaven. And you know what they're doing? They're preparing a place for you. That's pretty awesome. That's what they're occupied with, preparing a place. My wife was saying, you know, we've been kind of not seriously, but sort of thinking about, you know, what would happen if we downsized and could we, you know, where would we move and closer to my daughter, you know, all these different things you go through when you're thinking about this. And my wife said, wouldn't it be really cool if when we got to this particular house that we're supposed to get, that it would have all of the things in it that we love and care about? Do you think God might be able to do that for you? If he's going to prepare a place for you, it's going to be one that's completely and utterly appropriate for you. Right? I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas, the doubter, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Now, to me, I think this is one of the probably most well-known Bible passages in the New Testament anyway. And listen to what he says. Jesus answered. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. My one goal today is that you would come home with that verse under your belt. That you would come home thinking about that. So let's just say it together. It's on the board, I guess. I am. There's lots packed into that little verse there. Okay. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Seen him. Okay, so let's start at the beginning of this. The Bible teaches us all the time to stop worrying, and we continue right on with it. Thank you very much. Thanks for the suggestion, but I'm going to keep worrying. The Bible says you're going to have trouble. We don't believe it. We're still looking for something beyond that. That's, you know, we're going to be in this state of perpetual victory. Let me tell you, as somebody that's walked with the Lord for now, you know, going into my fifth decade, that time's not coming in this life. I hate to break that to you, and I feel bad being the one saying it. I wish it was the other way around. When somebody tells you the kingdom is fully here now, do not believe it. It's going to get a whole lot better, but not in this lifetime. Hello? Do not be afraid. Do not be troubled. Do believe in God. Do believe in me. And I promise you that at the end of this life, I will have gone ahead of you and prepared a house for you. Here's something that you need to hang on with. Jesus is trustworthy. Hello? Jesus is trustworthy. That means he's worthy of our full confidence, of our full trust, of leaning the full weight of who we are and all that goes on in our life and all our troubles. We can lean it completely on him because he is, unlike us at times, always trustworthy. Doesn't mean you're not going to experience pain. You know, my wife and I, we've experienced plenty of struggle and pain in this lifetime. And I've told you this, I think, before when I've preached here. The one thing you need to learn to do is to always turn toward him, not away from him. Can you catch that? Always you have to learn to turn toward him, not away from him. Away from him, there is only darkness. Away from him is only the experience of finding yourself in this troubled, fallen world. But in Jesus, we can find peace, and in Jesus, we can find goodness, and in Jesus, we can experience all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. All that's true despite what this world is. You do not want to put all your hope in this world or whatever your plan is for this world. It's not worthy of our trust. Jesus is trustworthy. The world is not trustworthy. So I'm waiting for that mansion with many rooms, and I'm looking forward to experiencing the new heavens and the new earth where everything's new and right. Are you looking for that? That's the promise. It's not everything will work out perfect in this life. It just won't. And I know thousands and thousands of Christians now, and I've watched thousands and thousands of Christians' lives. They're not always so great. I don't mean to discourage you. I just mean to speak truth to you. If you continue to turn toward Jesus, if you do what I did at my mother's table, It'll all work out good in the end. I remember when John Wimber was dying. The reason why I got to the Anaheim Vineyard was John Wimber was basically dying. He had had multiple diseases and things. And I remember him sitting on the stage one day in a wheelchair preaching to us. And he was talking about some friend of his that had had some problem. And then he turned toward us and he said, "And I haven't had such a great week either." he had full-blown cancer at that point. And I'm like, oh, that's really discouraging and really encouraging at the same time. I'm not sure which, but. So this is the announcement. And maybe this is all you would need to take home with you. I am what? I am the way. I am the way. What does that mean? Remember I told you a couple weeks ago? The Christian life is something like this. You at some point realize Jesus is the way. You grab his hand and you walk through this life together. Do you want to do that? You have to decide to do that. That will not happen without you making a decision and multiple decisions and decisions throughout the course of your life. I am the way. The way to what? Well, the way to heaven. The way to the Father. And you know, I've been thinking about this passage for a few weeks as I got ready for today. And I came to this realization that the way for us really is multiple ways. Listen for this. Okay, the Old Testament talks about ancient paths, plural. For us, in this life, kind of in a funny place because we're walking around with an invisible friend, right? I mean, do you ever think about what we're doing? I mean, if you get funky and funny, it can be really funny. We're walking around saying, "I have my best friend's an invisible guy. And I talk to him every day, all the time." It's weird, right? We're weird. Do you get that? It's partly why the world goes, "Those Christians, if they get to know us, they're weird." And there's the way, and then there's the ways, and just one of them I might mention to you is prayer. If you're going to learn to walk on the way, you have to learn his ways. One of his primary ways, as far as I can tell, is you need to learn to pray. All sorts of different kind of prayers. Prayers that will take you through this lifetime. I am the way. I want to teach you my ways. And this term's interesting, the way. I am the way. I am the way. It's kind of exclusive, isn't it? That's part of the problem the world has with us. You're saying, you mean you're one of the ways, right? No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, "I am the way. No one gets to the Father but through me." That's a big statement. We're banking on that being true, right? Are you? I hope you haven't bought into what the world teaches, that there's lots of different ways and we can work it out all sorts of different. We got a kind of a garden, you know, kind of with the. No, it's not. It's the way. The way. That's why we send missionaries, right? They don't go there because the living conditions are better, right? I am the way. Then he says the truth. The Greek word is aletheia, and it also can be translated, beside truth, it can be translated reality. Do you want to know what's real and what's not real? I do. I want to know what's real and what's not real. Aletheia. I have a phrase that I think I made up, but, you know, as you teach, you steal so many different things. It's probably somebody else's, but whoever it is, it's good. He said, maturity is realizing reality. Maturity is realizing reality. What's real? What's not real? What's important? What's not important? It's learning his ways about God, about you. Here's a little clue about you. When I started being a pastor, you know, people would come in my counseling office. It's amazing they would come in my counseling office. I was like 22, didn't know anything. But they would come in anyway. And I used to assume that the way I thought, nobody else thought. Have you ever thought like that? I'm weird. Nobody else is that weird. But after listening to hundreds and hundreds of people in counseling rooms, I realized we're kind of all the same. Hello? We're kind of all the same. We're kind of all the same. And we're in this process of looking for the way, the truth. Truth about God, the truth about you, the truth about the world that you live in. That's what I was trying to speak to you about a little bit before. Reality, maturity is adjusting to reality. Maturity is adjusting to reality. Our ultimate reality is the kingdom, right? Kingdom. The king and his kingdom. I am the way and the truth and the life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous resistor during World War II, one of the few people in the church at the time that resisted Hitler, he says that Jesus didn't come to establish a new religion. Listen to this. This is good. Jesus didn't come to establish a new religion, but he came to bring life. That's good. Jesus came to bring life. He came to bring life to you. Every person in this room, he came to bring life to. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. He came to give us a new life. And what I mean by that is a transformed life. You know, from the day when I was 19, when I received Jesus, and he came into my life, he's been changing me and changing me and changing me. And yet some of you might say, you still got a long way to go. And I agree with that. I still have a long way to go, but so do you. So we keep turning toward him and turning toward him and turning toward him and allowing him to transform our lives. If you're paying attention, you'll notice parts of your life that are not in conformity with the will of God. When you do that, what do? Do you beat yourself up? Do you kind of, you know, go into a self-flagellant kind of thing? No. You turn toward. You say, Jesus, I'm struggling with this. I'm always telling people things that make me look better. I know that that's not right. Would you change that? Change that in me. I am the way and the truth and the life. The way here is a Greek word, odos, and it means a road, a path, a journey, a lifestyle. What Jesus wants to teach us is not just the way to heaven. That's super obviously really important. But what he wants to teach us is a whole new way of doing life. A lifestyle, if you would. So the way is to what? It's obviously to a relationship in an ongoing way with God. Not just a destination, but how to live right now. And I'll give you one big giant hint. I think I've spoken here about this before. This whole thing is about loving everyone. Hello? Love your neighbor as yourself. We got that one, I think. We understand that one anyway. Even loving our enemies. That's like, you know, high up, and that's tough, right? You know, I don't know if you knew this, but my father's side of my family is Jewish, and we're in the United States because of the czars deciding they didn't like Jews at one point or another. We ended up in New York and then eventually to California. So yesterday, I found myself crying a little bit as I was watching the news of the, Poway synagogue. And, you know, it's just that stuff just seems to be happening in rapid fire more and more, right? And anti-Semitism around the world is going up. And it's just weird to think, you know, that we could face, you know, real anti-Semitism. I mean, there's always been a little bit of it around in some little crazy groups, but there's whole groups of people now, and young people. The shooter was 19. 19. So you picture this kid, and I don't know what the whole story is, but picture this kid in his basement, you know, feeding on all this negative garbage that's all over the place on the internet, and then going, maybe today I'm going to really do something about this. I mean, he had to plan this because he had an assault rifle, right? Listen, we live in a crazy world. I hope you know that, and I hope you understand it. That's why we need to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. We need to be praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And we need to pray that together, and we need to continue our efforts at evangelizing people. Because Jesus, guys, I know this sounds so corny, and if I feel like I'm a Jesus movement bumper sticker or something, but he is the way. Do you believe that? So if we believe that, we rally together and we learn God's ways, we learn the truth that's in his word. You know, that one thing, I've said this to you before, but one of the things that really scares me is that the Bible seems to be going out of vogue in the church. Especially the Old Testament. Sorry, Glenn. He's the representative of the Old Testament for me, so. Man, we live in a crazy, messed up world. But yet there's hope, always, as we turn toward him. Lean not on your own understanding. Turn toward him. So, we're on the road, and it's not a tiny road because there's several billion people on it right now. Right? We got some like 2 billion or more believers in this world, believers in Jesus. We don't know exactly, and depends how you count and all those kind of things. But there's lots of us. And we need to just be strong enough to say, yes, I believe he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And as we continue to believe that and proclaim that, God will use us to bring many into his kingdom. Amen? All right, let's stand up. Take a minute, ask what is the Lord saying to me right now? Just bow your heads. I am the way. No one comes want you to see yourself as in a place before God. You know, my mom's table was it for me, but whatever is appropriate for you. And the Father says to you, I love you, my son, my daughter. I want you. I want to walk through this life and beyond with you. Maybe some of you have never really completely given yourself to the Lord and His way and His ways. And He doesn't need a complicated prayer. For me, it was, God, show me if you're real, and if you don't, you don't hear this anyway. But God, I ask that you would show everyone in this room your great love for them, your kindness, your mercy poured out on the cross. And Lord, we best we know how, humble ourselves before you. We say yes to you. Just say yes. If you want to walk with the Lord for the rest of your life, you say yes. You can say it out loud if you want. Don't be afraid. The Lord will walk with you hand in hand through this life. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you. We say we trust in God. We trust also in you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our best intention here. We love you. We bless you. We say yes to you, Lord, this day as we gather here together. We say yes to you, Lord. Take us where you want. Do with us what you want. Put us with who you want. We love you, Lord. We love you. Jesus said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's part of the deal. Lord, give us opportunities to share.